Good evening. It's good to see everyone out tonight. We're going to continue looking at the book of Hebrews, and we're going to pick up where we left off. I think chapter 2, verse 5 is where we left off last time we spoke on Sunday nights. We've been talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's a phrase that, of course, comes from Hebrews chapter 12, but again, we're trying to go through the entire book of Hebrews and thinking about what the book of Hebrews meant for its original audience and also how it applies to us today. Again, we made it through chapter 1. The last time I was up here on Sunday nights, we started chapter 2, and the writer of Hebrews is contrasting the message of Jesus with the message of angels. And specifically, he's talking about the law. The tradition became for the Jewish people, for the Hebrew people, that the angels, that God gave the law to the angels, and then by tradition, they gave that law to Moses. So he's sort of speaking to their own tradition when he's talking about this, contrasting the message of Jesus versus the message of angels. So verse 5, chapter 2, the writer says this: "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Now let's kind of break that down just a little bit. There's a couple of things to notice when he quotes this psalm. This psalm is not specifically talking about the Messiah. It's not specifically talking about Jesus. It's speaking of all humanity. So when the psalmist says, "What is man?" He's not saying a specific man or a son of man, which is an idiom for that all of humanity. So when he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him?" He's saying, "What is humanity? What are people, God, that you are mindful of us, that you care about us?" And then he says, "You made him," made man, "him a little while lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor." This psalm that's being quoted says that the destiny of humanity is to be crowned with glory and honor. That the Hebrew writer begins verse 5 by saying, this is the destiny of humanity, to have the world become subjected to humanity. Now, that's not the way we tend to talk or think about the age to come or the world to come, but that's how the writer of Hebrews puts it. He says that the world to come will be subjected to humanity when humanity is crowned with glory and honor, having put everything under the Psalms here, humanity's feet. The Hebrew writer says, but we don't see that at the present moment. At present, we don't see everything in subjection to humanity. We look around and we don't see that in the world, the present world being in subjection to humanity. We don't see us as ruling with glory and honor. That is what yet still to come. But what we do see, we do see Jesus, namely Jesus, who was made lower for a little while than the angels and is now presently crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering and death that he went through. Because Jesus was willing to suffer and die and taste death for everyone, he is already crowned with glory and honor. The Hebrew writer is saying the only way to experience this glory and honor is that humanity is destined for, is to partner with and be faithful to Jesus, be willing to suffer with Jesus and endure with Jesus. And if we're willing to do that, then we will experience what Jesus is currently experiencing, crowned with glory and honor, having the world to come subjected to us as it should be. The present world is not subjected to us, and we suffer now, of course, because of sin. Excuse me. But because, again, that Jesus was willing to come and to die for us, he rescued us so that we could inherit what we are destined to inherit, what God wants humanity to inherit, all of those who are faithful to Jesus, all of God's people, that their sins get atoned for, they get to experience the glory and honor if we fix our eyes on Jesus. And again, if we do that, then we get to share in the world to come. We get to share in the glory and the honor. We have to be willing, though, to suffer with Jesus now. That was a message that was relevant to the Hebrew writer's first audience, and I think it's still relevant to us today, that you have to be willing to suffer with and for Jesus. And if you are willing, because he tasted death again for everyone, then we can share with him in that honor and glory in the world to come. That's a lot of times when you read eternal life, that's what is translated eternal life, is the world to come or the age to come. So I'm saying that kind of in the place of that term eternal life. The original audience of the book of Hebrews was going through difficult times. That they were being persecuted. They were suffering. They were being put to shame, really, because of their new commitment to Jesus. And some of the Christians were already at that time beginning to forsake Jesus. And some of the Christians were beginning to forsake Jesus' people and his message. The writer here is writing to them to encourage and to admonish them to remain faithful to Jesus and his people, reminding them that Jesus is preeminent, that Jesus is the final word of God. It's the final word from God, that Jesus is better than the message that came through Moses, which would be the law. He says, in talking about what Jesus is accomplishing for us, in verse 10, he continues and says, "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers, and in the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise.' And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me." Just a couple of things there to point out that I want us to look at. One is that God is bringing many sons to glory. Just as he said just before, it is the destiny that God's people be crowned with glory and honor. And the Hebrew writer says that God is bringing many sons to glory. And it's fitting. It is appropriate that the one through whom he would bring many sons to glory, the founder of their salvation, that he would make him perfect through suffering. But because again, the one who sanctifies, he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. They're all one. Then he's going to go to them, say to the Messiah, the one who sanctifies, the one through whom God is bringing many sons to glory, that he and his people are brothers. That we are family, and through Jesus, God is bringing us to glory. Again, the entire message of the book of Hebrews is to be faithful to Jesus. Jesus is the one through whom you're being sanctified, meaning being made holy. God is making you unique and his special people through Jesus, and through that perfection, that sanctification comes through suffering. That there is sanctification. There is no sanctification or no holiness or no uniqueness without suffering. If that's true of the Messiah, that he would be made perfect through suffering, then what makes us think that it should be any different for us? Again, the message for the original audience was suffer with Jesus. Endure with Jesus because God is bringing you to glory. And that same message is true for us today, that we will be crowned with glory and honor, that in the world to come will be subjected to us, to all of God's people, that we will share in the glory of the Messiah if We suffer with him if we are patient with him. If we endure with him, we are his brothers and sisters, that we are siblings with the Messiah. We are children of God, and the Hebrew writer says that it is connected with suffering. You're going to suffer with your elder brother who is bringing you to glory. So this week, let's think and work through that this week, that we are siblings of the Messiah and that we are children of God, that we're loved by him and that we're being saved by him and that we are being made holy by him, that we are being brought to glory and to honor if we endure, if we are patient, if we are willing to suffer with Jesus. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and you need to make that decision, this would be an opportune time. If you're struggling in your walk or need prayers or just encouragement and would like to make that publicly known, now would be an opportune time as together we stand and we sing.